Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
I didn't miss it.
Yeah, you didn't. You woke up just in time. Did not miss the rooster. Wouldn't it suck if we actually had to wake up just like that, like back in the day?
No, because I wouldn't be waking up to that. I wouldn't be a farmer.
You wouldn't?
No.
You definitely have farmer vibe.
I'd be a hunter.
It would match your farmer tan.
It would match my farmer tan.
Sorry. How was your week? Welcome to Wake Up Hollywood, everybody.
Hello.
Well, how was your week? Talk to me.
Hey, it was fine.
Did you do anything fun?
I've been battling bacterial sinusitis.
Oh, my God. Lucky. That's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty rad. Terrible.
It's pretty rad.
Well, what are you battling it with? One of those, maybe?
Yeah, a fart?
Yes.
No.
You on antibiotics?
Antibiotics. Flonase.
Ooh, man.
Good old Flonase.
Do you get more sick, you think, because you have a kid? Because your kids are always getting sick, right? Not your kids, but kids in general are always sick.
Because kids are just like little germ bags.
Yeah, and they're around other germ bags.
And they go to school and they congregate with 30 other germ bags, and then they bring home something.
And then you're just like, God damn.
Yeah, it's just part of it.
It's like an ongoing process.
Part of it.
Now, let me ask you this. Yeah. Because I saw a core math problem. Has your kid gotten into core math yet?
Yeah.
Do you think that's obnoxious math? Because I think it's obnoxious math from what I understand of it.
No, I think it's – I actually support core.
What?
Common core.
Why? It's so, like, not logical all the time.
No, I think the way we were taught math – isn't logical.
Why?
Because the way I've understood it from watching him being instructed in Common Core, especially with core math, it's they're learning to visualize the math. Instead of just seeing the numbers and adding and subtracting and counting the numbers in their head, they're visualizing the image of subtraction and addition and seeing. I mean, I think it's a much more visual way to learn. I think it's a better way to learn.
But I saw some math problem that was like, how can you get 10 out of 8 plus 5? And the kid wrote, like, you can't get 10 out of 8 and 5. He says, actually, you can. You just have to take 3 from, you know, or 2 from the 5.
What grade was that?
I don't know.
I'm only familiar with first grade Common Core math.
So. Okay, well, it gets worse. Because I know a lot of middle school parents that are just furious.
It's because we weren't trained that way. The kids don't have a problem with it. It's a really odd way to learn math. The kids don't have a problem with it.
But what was wrong with just math?
I don't know.
Come on!
They've obviously figured out a better way to train the brain to receive math. And it's just we're just old curmudgeons that refuse to learn a new way.
But, I mean, is there really that revolutionary way to learn math?
Everything else advances. Why wouldn't learning techniques advance?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. But 8 plus 5 is just going to be 13. It's not going to be, oh, it's 10 plus 3.
Yeah, but if you can visualize it, you can see it and it'll happen quicker. As opposed to going 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Instead of counting it in your head, you'll just see it, and it'll be 15 in your head. I don't know. I like it. Hmm. I know there's a bunch of people our age that are like, this is terrible. You know, it's because you weren't trained that way.
Oh, Eddie, tell us more.
Oh, my God. Oh, is it? Where's the button that
comes? I went to Disneyland.
Wait,
come on. Come on.
I just muted
Please.
It.
Please. I went to Star Wars at Disneyland this weekend.
Star Wars.
There you go. See? Have you been on Space Mountain since?
I have not been to Hyperspace Mountain.
No. Hyperspace Mountain? I couldn't wait to tell you about it.
I've been to Disneyland since I did that, but I just didn't ride it.
Why? Because it was like a 2-hour
wait.
Because
my kid was sick.
Ah! So he's never been on Hyperspace Mountain?
No, he's 6. No.
Well, you remember old school Space Mountain,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like completely dark. Yeah. Then the new addition was the music,
yeah.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
Now there's images of like Star Wars scenes or like scenes they made for it, and because they're like in these like angles of the roller coaster, you actually see the roller coaster in parts that you probably shouldn't.
Oh, really?
So that bummed me out a little bit.
Yeah.
But I went on Cars. I went to Cars Land for the first time.
Oh, so you went over to California too?
Dude, I did both. I had a friend from Utah who came with his kids, And I like they're adorable kids, and I just had to hang with them because it was just like I
got. Did you go one day or 2 days?
Just one day. God, dude, it was crazy. They went at 7:30 in the morning, and they were stayed till midnight.
Yeah. You have to see everything.
But, dude, the kids were 5 and 7. I never stayed up that late.
You That's, pay that much yes, friggin' money, I, that was you the other stay thing I want to talk about. From 8 to midnight.
Dude, do you... Okay, so when was, like, the first time you went to Disneyland when you were in California?
Probably when I was in California.
Yeah.
I think I was here in, when I was, like, 10.
How much was a ticket? Do you remember?
No, I didn't pay for it.
Okay, there was a time where I remember going to Disneyland, it was $25.
Yeah, it probably was.
And now it's $160. Yes. Yeah. And it's like, dude, come on. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can get by with, like, the eats and stuff like that.
For, well, they got the two park pass. That's why it's 160. If you just go to one park, it's like 99 or something like that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's, but it's still a lot.
It's ridiculous. It did not go – it did not increase with inflation. It went way above.
Yeah, it kind of bums me out.
Because I'm sure when I went as a kid, it was – $30.
But I, you know what?
It was probably $60 20 years ago.
Like, one thing I love about Disneyland is they always make the things – about the rides, new and different.
No.
Like, there's never a part of a ride that I don't see something change.
No, Disney...
They have it dialed in.
The attention to detail in Disneyland is incredible.
It really is. I mean, they put the money in the right places.
The attention to detail is worth it. Like, we went to Legoland recently. And
you go a lot, too, because of that.
It's perfect park for a little kid.
Right, right.
And it's $87 for a kid to get into Legoland.
What?
And you're telling me Legoland is only... $8 better, or Disneyland's only $8 better than Disneyland. No, it's not.
That's robbery.
Legoland's a shithole.
Right.
But.
Well, I haven't been, actually.
It's a shithole. It's not for adults.
There are no rides.
No. I mean, there's like rides, but everything rides is there for little kids. It's a little kid park.
So you get bored.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible for adults can go to Disneyland and have fun. An adult can't go to Legoland and have fun.
Oh, man. And you go a lot.
Yeah.
Why don't you choose, like, Universal Studios or something?
Because I have a 6-year-old.
But he can see shows at Universal Studios.
They like Legos. They don't like Jurassic Park the ride.
Oh, that's a bummer.
When he gets older, yeah, that's what I'll do.
Okay.
But all right now, it's Legos. Yeah, there'll be a
right
shift.
Right now, you don't think when he's 12 he's going to be like, Daddy, take me to Legoland?
No, he'll get bored as shit at Legoland.
Okay. So what's the age that you think kids would be like, I'm over this?
About 8 or 9, I think you're done with Legoland.
And then you're done.
Yeah.
Okay, now, well, what's your favorite amusement park besides Disneyland? What's your number two?
I like Knott's Berry Farm.
Really?
Yeah.
Over Magic Mountain? Magic Mountain's dope.
When I was younger, I could ride roller coasters. I can't ride roller coasters anymore.
Oh.
It just destroys my head.
You know, I did notice, like, I went on the teacups. Like,
I can't do it anymore.
The teacups, man. That's, like, not a crazy ride.
No, but it just...
Teacups are not crazy.
It ruins 3 hours of your life.
Oh, my God, dude. It was, like, a bad hangover.
Yeah.
It was, like, I was woozy. I was, like...
No, it's not worth it. Like, when I was younger, if I was a teenager, yeah, Magic Mountain would have been awesome.
Yes.
But now I can't ride roller coasters.
Yeah, and it took a lot out of me. Like, I slept like a baby.
Because your brain is slamming into your skull.
Totally. And, I've never been sore from, like, going to Disneyland.
Yeah.
I was sore. I was like, dude, my back, my knees, my legs, I'm old. But it was still fun.
Yeah.
It was still fun. And I don't go that often. When was the last time you went to Disneyland?
December.
Oh, so you go pretty often. I went last time was like 3 years ago for me. So well, Cars Land was being.
I've been able to like have friends that have been able to get me in free.
Oh,
so
you're
whenever
a high
you
roller.
Get whenever you get the free.
How do you get a free pass to Disneyland?
Well, I had a friend who works there, was able to get people in free.
He just got fired.
So yeah, I didn't name a name. But so like once a year.
Okay, and you know what? Have you ever been to parts of the park that you've never been to? Like, have you eaten at Blue Bayou?
I've eaten Blue Bayou before.
Okay. I've never done that.
That's cool.
I still haven't
done that.
That's a
cool restaurant.
Have you been in the tunnels underneath the park?
No.
That's something I want to do.
And was that Club 33 or whatever?
I want to see that
secret
that's
door.
That's the rumor. That's the. I heard there's just like 3 tunnels underneath the park.
I don't know.
But there's some cool stuff going on there. No, there's like a little bit of
mystery. The attention
to
detail in Disneyland is.
And what I love is like Walt Disney loves New Orleans. Or he loved New Orleans. So he did this whole part of the park that was, like, totally dedicated to New Orleans.
Square, but that's not in Disney World, though.
Yeah, but why?
There's only New Orleans Square is only in...
Only in the original.
In Disneyland, it's not new Disney World.
But you know what I noticed, too? Yeah. The people that grow up with Disney World are way more into Disney World. But to me, I'm like, dude...
I grew up with Disney World. That's the first park I went to.
Yeah, but it's...
But I like Disneyland better.
You do?
Yeah.
Tell me why. Because everybody I know that's grown up with Disney World likes Disney World better.
No, I don't. I think it's... I like Disneyland better because it's a little bit smaller.
Okay.
You can get around it easier. Yeah. I like New Orleans Square.
That's my favorite part of the park.
Which doesn't really, it doesn't exist.
Except Tom Sawyer's Island, it's been closed forever, and that was one of my favorite parts of the park.
Yeah. Well, they're redoing it because of the Star Wars.
Is that going to be the Jedi Island or something?
No.
That's what I heard. Somebody said it's going to be like a Jedi Island.
I don't think so.
Well, what is it going to be?
I think it's going to be that again, I think.
Tom Sawyer's Island?
I think.
Huh.
I don't know.
You think you know a park?
I have
park.
No idea. I don't work for Disney. I don't know.
Well, wonderful. Well, yeah. that all sounds good. I was stoked on the little Disneyland rides and improvements, but yeah, man, that was basically my weekend. It looks like our special guest has arrived, musician and producer extraordinaire Lincoln Cleary, everybody. Hey!
What's going on?
Just wait till the studio on the simmers down.
Yeah, they got to settle down.
They're really rambunctious.
They are.
I know. They're feisty.
We have a cocaine in the green room.
So Lincoln,
free drinks.
I got to, you know, I have to actually tell like the story of how I met Lincoln. So I was doing a record, and I think I went to like a Mediterranean rap place like right across the street, and this guy was eating right next to us, and I was talking music with one of the engineers or I think one of the musicians I was playing with, and I didn't realize like at the time that we had all these like crazy mutual friends and people that we played with together. We ended up talking music. He ended up coming to the studio. We just hung. And then you played in a band called The Endangered. We're going to talk a little bit about that.
I do.
And they played with us at the House of Blues, a show that you happened to videotape, Eddie. So we've actually all three been in the same room.
Ooh, okay.
Many a time.
Ha.
See this?
Dude.
Crazy.
The Mediterranean spot.
That place is the jam.
It is 100% the jam.
Dude, what's the name of it? Ben, I know Ben. It's
Highmart.
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 Dude, Highmart in North Hollywood. They're the best. You ever go there?
No, never been there.
It's the shit. Mm. It's the shit.
I'll check it out.
I expect a free sandwich.
Next time, well, I'll have to tell them. Be like, yo, we advertised for you. Anyways.
I'm sponsored by Nord Keyboards,
that's a great
and
sponsor.
Also the Highmart. I've gotten the most out of the Highmark.
That's awesome.
To be honest.
So, Lincoln, let's just jump right in. Like, what got you into music? And, like, where did you grow up? How did you get into playing? You're a great pianist, but are there other instruments you play?
I suck at guitar.
That's okay.
And that's about it.
Everything else you're good at?
Trombone?
No, I suck at everything.
Oh, you suck at everything.
Piano.
Oh.
Like, it's across the board.
I thought you just was like, I suck at guitar, and that's the only thing I suck at.
Quasi-master of one trade. That's it.
So just piano. That's
pretty much all I got.
You've just nailed piano.
You want my resume? It's like, played songs on piano forever. That's like a four-sentence resume.
And you know what? It's rare. Like, usually, like, kids start on piano, and then they're like, I don't want to play this anymore. I don't want to do classical. Like, did you start with classical music?
Started with classical music when I was 5.
Wow.
Actually, I asked my dad for piano lessons.
Asked him. You like?
Yeah, no, he didn't like prod me into it. There's no like whacking the hands with the ruler and making me practice or anything like that.
Well, you had to have seen something that made you go, dude, I want to play piano.
I wanted to play piano when I was 5. Apparently, I used to beat on the pots and pans in the kitchen when I was like 2 or 3.
You could be a drummer
that
the world is waiting for,
it's
too.
It's hidden in there somewhere.
It's in here.
So I started when I was 5, and just. My life pretty much took that course ever since then. Like, it was pretty clear.
So you must have started with Bach, Mozart. When did you get to, like, I know, because this kid can play. I mean, he can play. So you had to have gotten to Chopin,
like,
Rachmaninoff.
Like, when I didn't get to the Rack 3.
All right,
like,
all right.
But I appreciate the vote of confidence.
See?
It was, like, Bach and Mozart when I was, like, 8, 9, 10, art school in Denver. Like all state bands and all the things that happened.
Then Oscar Peterson took over.
One of my favorites.
See, I knew it. I knew it.
The swingingest fucking
dude
ever.
He's the best. He's the best.
Can I say that?
You can say shit. You can say it. You can say it all.
It's great.
The world is your oyster.
It's the internet. No one cares.
I love that you're like,
no one can hear this.
Swinging his shit. All
right. Fuck shit. Fuck box. All right. So then, I don't know. I was kind of making mistakes in the classical songs and like, listening to him being like, no, I kind of like that's cool. I like that.
Right. Different voices and whatnot.
And then I decided I kind of wanted to speak the language of music a little bit more than just interpret something that was given to me exactly as it had to be. So I started studying jazz at maybe 12.
Damn.
13.
Damn.
I attended the University of Miami.
That's a great music school, by the way. I know a lot of great musicians that came from
it. It was fucking awesome. I can't say enough good things about what I got there.
Can't say that. Just kidding. Ah, you froze for a little bit. You see that? You can't say enough good things.
about UM, it was great for me. Worked professionally in Miami for a couple of years after that. Moved to Los Angeles 9 years ago.
Was it like, this is the was there a cap in Miami? Like you had done school there, the music scene. It's a smaller city than people think.
It's musically and industry-wise, especially at the time I was there, it felt like there's kind of a glass ceiling.
Right.
Like I was like, if I live here, I'm just going to be doing this.
Right.
Forever, so I need
mostly
to go somewhere.
Cuban and Latin pop.
Or like just like that. Just like random cover band gigs.
Right.
And skateboarding to the beach every day and staying out until 5 a.m. every night. It's not like the worst life.
Right, right. I was like, imagined. Damn, that sounds pretty good. Eddie's like, I need to move to Miami. Are there comedy clubs in Miami?
Great place to visit. Beautiful place for shady people.
That's what I've heard.
That's what
that's
we
the
always.
Feeling I get
Eddie,
out of Miami.
Eddie, you're perfect. You scream in Miami, yeah, dude.
I'm screaming opposite of Miami.
So, yeah.
So when did you come out here to L.A.?
I moved out here in 2007, and instantly it was like, people just don't give this city enough credit. Like, instantly I was like, oh, that's how you get to be involved in all of these things. That you see, like I would watch the Grammys and I would wonder, like, how do you get in these bands? How do you get on these shows?
Right.
How do you get to go on tour with this person? How do you get to do that? And then I moved to LA and I was like,
of course.
Oh, just pretty much geographically possible.
And,
here.
And the reason, Eddie's like, well, how can I get in a Grammy band? How can I play trombone for the Grammy band? No, I mean, there's so much.
Do you play trombone?
No.
No, I just. I,
God,
I really
want to. I was really hoping. I was really hoping you
I look like a trombone player. I do.
You definitely look awesome. Like a trombone player that has just come from Miami.
I do look like a Miami trombone
player. No, there are so many scenes and like audition processes or networks to get in those, you know, like kind of locate, like situations.
Or just. Times when you just run into people who you're like, holy shit, man, I've been admiring your work for like...
Oh, you got a story there. Let's ever. Talk. Let's talk. Talk
there's,
to us. Give us a story.
There's a lot of stories there. All right, should we talk about Prince?
Yeah, oh,
I feel
please.
Like it's pretty current.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So I have one Prince story. I was playing one night at the Sayers Club in Hollywood, which is a place that... I play at occasionally. We're playing. We do our normal set. It's like a 12:30 set. Band is done at 1:15. Club owner comes over. He's like, hey, guys, Prince is coming. Band can stay if they want to. We're throwing everybody else out. Like, the club is officially closed. But
wow.
Prince is going to come. So turn the lights on. Throw all the paying customers out.
And they had no idea.
Band stays, staff stays, turn the lights back down. Prince shows up with two women and his manager, and he sits behind me at a table. So they're like, all right, guys, if you guys want to go ahead and start playing, you can start playing. So we start jamming. We're playing Rock Steady by Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
And
classic track.
I get a tap on the shoulder.
Oh, my God.
It's Prince.
Shit.
He's like, hey, man, I want to play some keyboards. And I was like,
go ahead.
Come on.
He'd be like, hold on, let me finish.
He should have been like, yo, after this song, it's all you, man.
So he starts jamming on my top keyboard. He's jamming. He's playing some, like, organ shit, super funky. Plays, like, 8 bars. And then he's like, go.
What?
To me. So I start soloing. On the bottom keyboard, like...
Oh, my God.
So, 8 bars. And then he goes. And then he's like, all right, now go. And I'm soloing. And Prince is in my fucking ear, like, come on. Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Like, he's like fucking getting after me, like, egging me on. And I'm, like, my mind is, I'm like, this is the craziest thing that's...
And all the band must have been like, dude, this is crazy.
Pretty much everyone was like, what's going on? So this goes on for like a minute. And then one of the girls who works there takes a picture. And it's like a vampire saw the sun or something. Like, like he like shrivels into like a shell of his former self and disappears behind me. So we keep playing and I'm like, mind is blown. You know, it's like the craziest thing ever. I'm playing. Eventually, a ringed hand appears over my keyboard and drops $20, and then he left.
Wow.
Wow.
Then he, So
Prince, that's amazing. So dude.
Prince gave me $20.
Dude. That was Well, he must have liked what you were doing. You got to jam with Prince.
Totally.
That's rare.
Did you yell at the girl that took the picture that ruined the whole thing?
Dude, I was on such a fucking high from the whole experience
already. That could have been going on for hours.
I was the way that guy liked to play music, yeah. It could have gone on for hours. Like, you literally had to drag that guy off the stage.
I imagine, where were his girls? Like, were they, I just imagine they're like around his arm or something.
Two model girls with him sitting in the corner, and then his manager.
Do you have the picture?
No.
You didn't get the...
I don't have the picture.
Because he vanished.
Who has the picture? His minions probably came and erased it from,
that's probably
from the
true.
Sky.
That's awesome, dude.
It's pretty sick.
So you're probably like, L.A. Only in L.A.
I'm such a dick, though. People are like, did you get the 20 framed? And I'm like...
No, I spent it.
I spent it at the high mark.
I love it. That's amazing. Well, so... Tell us how you got into, you started playing in bands. You play with a lot of people.
Yeah.
You play with a lot of same people that I play with as well. So, just like.
You play with the baddest dudes in town.
And
man.
You play like, with the baddest dudes. Band. That's right. High five for us.
We're
good, man.
Let's just pat each other's
good
back
too,
for
man.
A while.
Yeah.
You're the us in comedy, dude. All right, so tell us like who you play with, what bands you kind of been kind of roaming around or jamming with.
Recently, the last artist that I've been playing with for the past year or so is Anna Nalik. More of like an acoustic situation. She had a really big song called Breathe 2 AM.
Yep, I remember that track.
Amazing song, amazing writer, really, really talented girl. So I've been working with her for about a year now, which has been great.
That's amazing.
Small shows, just me and her.
That gives. Do you like prefer that because it gives you more room to kind of like lay stuff down, or you kind of like
there's a
fine line.
It's like it's good and bad. Like I love having a drummer and bass player to set a pocket with and really like vibe with, but then there's so much space and opportunity for nuance in a broken down situation like that. That there's magic that happens in those.
Yeah.
Spots.
Does she play or she just sings?
She plays guitar.
Okay, all right.
And sings and writes absurdly good songs.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that's been working with her for about a year, and I just started working with an artist named Earl Sinclair, who's a bad dude.
I just like his name.
Kind of a soulful cat.
He must be with a name like Earl Sinclair.
We'll be doing our first. We've done 5 rehearsals now in Los Angeles, and we'll be doing our first show in New York, May 12th.
Where are you playing in New York? For all of our New York listeners, you never know who's going to show up.
If only I had all of this information. that's just how professional I am. I'm like,
hey, you know what?
I'll let you know when I get the plane ticket and like the itinerary. I don't know. Like,
well, to be determined, right?
I mean, I'm sure they know where it is. I just don't know.
Well, let me ask you this.
Sorry,
too.
Guys.
You've been working on some original music of your own.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about that.
I have a couple of different things. I have a production team with a good friend of mine named Troyden Mirison. He's a DJ and engineer from South Africa.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Great dude. Really sick, like, DJ, finding samples. Like, this dude has, like, 9,000 disco records.
Wow.
Like, jeez, like really
just like
DJ,
Eddie.
Where you're just like,
there was 9,000 disco records made?
Apparently there were.
Wow. No, there was that many bands.
He has all of them.
He has all the disco music.
Yes. But he's great at that sort of thing, and so we have a pretty good working relationship because I'm pretty shitty behind the computer, honestly.
And like me,
engineering, I'm not great, but music,
I can get by.
Musically,
yeah.
Like if you want me to push the buttons in the right order on the piano.
I'm the exact same
I'm
way.
Pretty.
I'm great with engineers, but like there's a fork in the road. You're like, I can either be a great engineer or a pretty solid musician, and you're like, I think I'm gonna go with musician.
That's just where I ended up. I should be a better engineer. Troyden, help me be better at this shit already, bro. Like, it's like, stop keeping all the tricks for yourself.
He's like, maybe. I'll try. Does he have a South African accent?
Yeah, big time.
I think that South African accent's big awesome. Time. I think that's one of the coolest accents.
He says shit like avocado.
Let's hear something that you did with him. What are we going to play first?
What What do you have over there? Because none of them really... They just all have working titles that
Attack,
like...
Attack, Keep On, Flat, Star.
Nice
Which
names.
Are not even real song
yeah, that's
titles.
All right. That's okay.
We're super pro. So the last thing that we did in the studio was Keep On. I feel like we can go ahead and go in on that. It's kind of mm-hmm. like a...
An
like
intro?
Kind of a traditional kind of a traditional house record.
Let's hear it.
Working title, Keep On. Here we go.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah, just go hard.
Dude, actually, that was like head bobbing music. Just like groove, groove,
last,
groove.
Last, we literally made that song like 3 days ago.
It's
so I was just like, I'm partial to the last thing.
I don't know if you're like going for this. It's so Jamiroquai, and I love Jamiroquai.
Definitely.
So funky, man.
Love Jamiroquai. But dude, that would be like one
wait,
of my
you guys
dream
say it
gigs.
Different. You guys say it different. Jamiroquai,
yeah,
Jamiroquai.
How did you say it?
Jamiroquai?
Jamiroquai.
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 Yes, into fight. Fight.
Well, he said, fight. That's enough. That's enough. Fight.
Jamiroquai. Jaguar. Jaguar.
Avocado. Avocado.
Tomato. Tomato. Jamiroquai. Jamiroquai. Do you say quai?
Jamiroquai.
Do you say quai? Jamiroquai?
Jamiroquai.
Jamiroquai.
That's the name of the band.
Jamiroquai. 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 Okay.
Let me say it. You guys need to resolve this. This is interesting.
I think he's right. Jamiroquai.
Okay.
Jamiroquai. Yeah. I don't do the... Because it's Q-U-A-I, right? Jamiroquai.
I mean, that's what Google's for if you want to go on and look it up.
Anyways, it's very Jamiroquai influence, and it's awesome. Like, cool chords. Like, what's is it a sample of a girl singing, or is it?
It's an old soul sample. It is not a girl singing. It's actually Eddie Kendricks.
Oh, whoa.
Pitched really? Up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, it sounds like a chick singing, and she's killing it.
Right.
Not that he wasn't killing it, but that's incredible.
Yeah, and most of the parts are actually played live by me. They're not, like, out of the box.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And so what are you using? Are you using, like, a Nord? Are you using just, like, computer MIDI stuff?
Most of it came out of the Prophet 6.
Okay.
Dude,
that thing is a beast.
The new Dave Smith board, which is actually now called Sequential Circuits.
Damn.
It's my favorite piece of gear that I own. Like, it's so much fun.
You know, Will Harrington... He's been a guest, and he's got one of those too. And he says, like, he speaks so highly of it. I'm like, it's the bad mama jamma.
It's the best
of keyboards.
So pretty much all the songs we've been making now, I'm just mining sounds out of that thing and tweaking knobs and going down the wormhole and seeing what we can find.
That's some crazy stuff.
It's pretty fun.
You've probably seen that Dark Child's keyboard room that he's got. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh my god, I'm gonna have to show you a YouTube clip. He's got a room. This is like a huge producer's work with like Michael Jackson, all kinds of people. He's got a room where it's probably twice the size of our studio here, and it's all full of keyboards.
Just walls
and they're all connected. Every single one's connected, and he just walks up. He'll be making a track, and it's a great YouTube video. He's making a track, and you just see him walk up to like any one. He just starts playing, and then he goes to another one, and it's all like different sounds, and it's the craziest, funkiest, cool. I was like, I want that. I'm like that guy, you know, the girl in Napoleon Dynamite when she sees the boat.
It's like my dream. It's basically my dream.
Yeah. No, a room full of keyboards. I got amazing. Awesome stuff. Like, what's your process when you write something like that? Like, are you both like, is he like, avocado, check out this beat?
We might start from that particular track. We started from the sample. Like, we were just digging through old soul records, like, listening for things that we thought would be cool to sample. And then we took them and Troyed and chopped them up into, like, bits and pieces we could use. And then he pitched it up. And then I start kind of vibing on the keyboard.
That's awesome.
Program some drums and then just
booyah,
and then
let it fly.
Exactly,
let it fly.
Let
so, are you going to release this stuff? Is this stuff that people are going to be able to hear?
This is going to happen at some point. We're sitting on probably like 50 songs right now.
You're like the prince of the EDM disco world. Like,
I wish we were. I wish we were like. Wait till you hear what we have in our vaults. No,
that's awesome,
but. Basically, it's a work in progress. Right now, we're compiling material.
Yeah.
And there will be an EP coming probably in the next 2 to 3
months. Or 6. Yeah. Who are some of your biggest influences as far as players? You said Oscar Peterson's one. Who else?
Pianist, Keith Jarrett.
He's a bad member jammer.
Is my favorite.
He just played here on Friday.
I know. I was out of town. I would have... paid whatever they were asking to
do. You know what? I actually went and saw him. I went to that show.
You went?
But he had no late seating clause. I was there four minutes late. I was 4 minutes late.
God, what?
I mean, he's...
Why is he so good and such an asshole at the same time?
So annoying. No. I'll tell you the story. I might as well. So I was 4 minutes late. I go to my seat. They wouldn't let me in. They're like... there's a no late seating policy. This is from the artist, so he wants all latecomers to sit in a listening room and watch.
Were you already at your seat?
No, oh. I was like walking into the seat, like walking into the theater, and they said we want all latecomers to sit in a room and watch it on a monitor. And I was like, you got to be, no, I'm not going to do that. So I walked straight into my seat after the first song. At intermission, they kicked me out of the venue.
Kicked you out?
They kicked me out of the venue. Yeah. Wow. I was like, so I saw half of his performance. But I was like, dude, you know what? As genius as this guy is, that's just ridiculous. And he's a jazz musician. Like, I would expect that from a classical musician.
Just be cool, but man. You're amazing. You're the best ever. He is amazing. Be a little cooler.
He's amazing. Wow. He is amazing.
What a douchebag.
It was super. So and here was the other thing, too. He didn't play one song from a record. He just said, this is an experiment. I'm going to just play what I feel for the entire time. So it's like, you know, the guy's got 40 years of records. My God. So, like it's cool. It's amazing. And he's so good that he just plays the coolest, craziest stuff in the moment. But at the same time, it's also, like, it's a little bit of playing God. Like, it's like Paul McCartney coming up on stage and saying, you know what? I'm just going to write whatever for 2 hours. You know, it's like, wait a minute.
But I think that works for jazz and instrumental music, where it doesn't work for pop music. Like, you're not just going to craft
a pop song
on the spot. But Keith is, like, so...
He's a badass.
In tune.
He's a badass.
In tune with There's exactly no question. What
he's,
it
he's
is.
A genius. That, like, he's a genius.
That inspirational thread is, like...
Yes. There's no question about it.
And, like, when he sits down to play, that's...
And he's magic. But that note latency, it's
but
like,
I paid. Like, just let me sit in my seat and watch your fucking shows.
Yeah.
Had it started when you were walking down?
Dude, no. I was so irate. You have no idea. Like, I was so livid about it. It was like, dude, I'm 4 minutes late. He's not on stage. All the doors are closed. There's 20 people just on my floor alone, all yelling. And he comes out on stage and he talks for 10 minutes. And he came out on stage at 8:07. It was like... Dude, are you kidding me? Like, I got my ticket.
By all the means, if he's playing, like, as soon as he sits down to play, then shut the doors and lock him.
Yes.
If you have to, then.
I understand that.
I don't even like that.
Yes.
I don't even like that. That I can understand, though.
Yeah,
but I can understand once you start playing, shut the doors. Nope. But I don't understand not.
Yeah. I left that little part of the weekend.
You mentioned Keith Jarrett. I'm like, I've got to talk about this. You should have gone in the screening room and taken a dump.
Oh, you know what? The crazy thing is, too, the screening
maybe
room.
Maybe an upper decker.
The listening room, just they wouldn't even decker. Let. They were like, oh, by the way, the listening room is full now. I'm like, what? So I can't even go to the listening room. That's not an option. I'm like, let me talk to the supervisor. Supervisor took 40 minutes to get there. So by that time, I'm like, I'm not waiting for him. I'm walking to my seat. And then at intermission, I had a head usher take me out. And then I had 10 security guards. 10 security guards escort me out of the Disney Hall.
You're a menace. You're a jazz menace.
Yes, I was a jazz menace to society. But it kind of felt badass, too. I was like, yeah, it takes 10 of you. That's right.
Probably better to catch half from inside the actual hall than to catch the entire thing watching it on the fucking screen.
I agree. And you know what? Like, I told Ticketmaster they refunded me the whole thing. So I saw Keith Jarrett for free. We're after the show. I'm like, take that, Keith Jarrett. Wow. Anyways, Keith Jarrett, who else? Let's talk more about you.
Seriously.
Keith Jarrett. You said Oscar Peterson, two of my favorites. What about Herbie? Hancock?
Herbie was the next one. Okay. Herbie was the next one. He, like, bridged the jazz to, like, funk and pocket.
Yeah.
And pretty much laid the foundation for everything that's happening in modern piano playing. So, yes.
He's been a part of every movement in jazz. So, I think he's, like, the pioneer of pioneers when it comes to jazz.
Chick Corea.
Oh, he's bad, too.
Brad Meldow.
He's my favorite of the current guys.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Robert Glasper.
I don't know him.
Kind of taking the reins from where Herbie was at a little bit.
Wow. And really? Okay. Brad Meldow is one of my favorites.
Oh, man. So good.
Because on a whole level. I got to play you his version of Blackbird. It's insane, dude. It's so good. It's ridiculous. Mm. But all of his records, I've seen them probably 10 times. He's just insane. What about other like styles, keyboardists? Chuck Lavelle, he's one of my favorites.
The young Corey Henry,
he's a badass.
Puppy is another just insane genius.
He's like compositionally and a player, just like ridiculous.
Yeah.
So do you steal from any of these guys? Like not like furniture, but like jazz licks or ideas or concepts.
Not licks, 100% concepts.
Right.
Like I was never a big transcribe this exact lick. And take it, but kind of just transcribe the vibe.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like what it is and borrow from it and try to make it your own, I guess.
I think that's the best way to write something, whether it's a movie, whether it's a piece, like use what works. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it works for a reason, then make it your own. Like try to use those same ingredients and like make it evolve, you know, make it new. I think that never, that's a timeless way to write or compose. I want to get to more of your music real quick. What else can we play of yours for this project? Man, I could sit and talk music with you forever, man. This is great. Yeah, especially Keith Jarrett. Eddie loved that story.
Well, this is the hang. Like you can't really bring up Keith Jarrett that much with that many people. No. But I could, like, this is my inspiration for Jarrett, all of my piano playing. So I could talk about
so
it forever.
He's so badass.
More music sounds nothing like Keith Jarrett.
It's okay. It's all right.
But why don't you do... let's play Flat Stanley.
Flat Stanley.
Which we recorded with a singer named Monique Benabou.
I like the name.
Good friend of mine, super talented, great girl. This is kind of a more eclectic record. Very different from the last one.
Do you ever play Peekaboo with Benekaboo?
Benabou.
Damn, Benabou.
I knew I was going to forget it. Peekaboo with Benabou?
Momo, if you're listening.
She's like, that's not funny.
So we did a record for her EP. We're also collaborating with people and producing other people, as well as stockpiling records for
awesome
our own stuff.
All right, let's hear it.
Flat Stanley.
Here we go.
Wake up, breathe, greet the morning with relief. Another day, another place, a different face to meet. Can you show me how you live your life? I wanna see what you see through your eyes. Oh, 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 no. Oh, 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 oh. Oh,
so much. Dude, they really loved
that's what
it.
I was just saying. I was like, man, that singer is so soulful. She sounds like straight out of the 70s.
Oh, we have a caller. We have a caller.
We got a caller? Who's calling in?
Hello. Welcome to Wake Up Hollywood.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Mic check.
Anyone?
Are you there?
Unknown caller?
Unknown caller, number one.
Hello, hello.
Did we
hello.
Lose him?
Check one, two.
Did we lose
check.
Him, Eddie?
And I guess we lost him. Well, the effort was there.
It was probably my dad.
A for effort.
A that's for happened effort. On this show, too.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the first time that's happened on this show.
Not to disappoint, but dude, what a crazy cool tune. So laid back, like an old... You modernized an old sound. That's what I love about it. It's like old, kind of soul, just chill, loungy tune.
Like the songs that were... making vary from like middle of the road house records to down tempo to trap music, like really ignorant trap music, but
it's dope.
It's all stuff that we like. It's all
and you guys ever play live together?
Not yet.
Oh man, that's gotta happen.
It's in the works,
dude. Yeah. What kind of clubs can people spot you if they're gonna find you?
I would be trying to get a set at Sayers.
Okay,
like, Sayers. Off the bat.
Look for them and maybe
they're,
the
they're
Ghost
trying
of
to call back.
But we have oh,
here we go.
Coming
we'll try,
in.
We'll try this again.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
You have to speak hello. Into the speaker.
Hello.
Use your
wake
cellular
up Hollywood.
Telephone.
Wake up,
device.
Whoever's maybe. On the other line of this phone call. Wake up, Hollywood.
I don't understand why it's well, maybe it's an RN. I don't know.
Eddie's I think right? Shifted them into the other station.
Oh, there we go.
Hello? Is this Darth Vader? Hello? I hear
really
Star Wars music.
Star
it is Darth Vader.
Is it Darth Vader? Who is this?
Hey!
Someone's just, this is a call for Eddie, for sure.
Yeah,
this is
a call for love you. John Williams.
I have an idea who it probably
so much.
Is. I think I know who it is.
Is that John Huck?
No.
Who is it? Is it your wife?
No.
Who is it?
It's probably somebody that knows me.
Well, okay. All right. Well, thank you for calling,
I'm
whoever
sure.
called it. I wanted
good
to,
talk.
I wanted
good talk,
to ask
though.
You,
thank you.
Really, really good talk. Thank you for your contribution.
That's that impossible.
That was marvelous.
That was a nice little Star Wars innuendo.
Good stuff.
Oh, seriously, splendid.
All right, so you're going to probably play Sayers. Where can people find you? Do you have a SoundCloud? Do you have? How can people find you, Lincoln?
Dude.
You're a man of mystery.
Fucking behind the veil right now. the Wizard of Oz.
You're like, I have no connection to the internet.
You can visit our website once it's built and once we get a band name. Worst promotion ever. I apologize.
I like it. You know what? That's awesome, though.
It's all about planning for the future.
We're just going to make hundreds of songs.
But you know what?
But just keep them for
you
ourselves.
Know what, though? That's like, that's a true artist. Like, not caring. Like, every time I'm like making an album, then I see like something that Banksy does, I'm like, man, he's got it going on. Like, he's, nobody knows who he is. Nobody knows when he's promoting anything. You know, it's not for sale. It's not released. It's just.
He's doing he just, it
yeah,
for the love
of
the art.
Doing it. I'm like, man, yeah. That's the true artist. You're the true artist. You're the Banksy of the EDM DJ jazz world, man.
I'm an artist. Like, the jazz situation is going to be coming soon. I'm working on one of those also with actually Frank Abraham.
I love Frank.
And
he's played with us
and
many times.
Yaji Hamden on drums.
Nice.
Those are my brothers. I've been playing with them forever. That project
brothers
is
from another
be called
mother.
Yeti.
Yeti.
Ooh, Yeti.
Yeah, I love
good
it.
Name. Good name.
Well, let's play something else. We got a couple more minutes. We can play a little
minutes.
Snippet.
We got 2 minutes.
Can we,
you
can
just,
play a
you
snippet
just
of
play him out with the last one. I forget what it was. I think
Attack.
It's Attack.
Oh, let's end with Attack. Attack.
Attack of John Williams.
Attack.
Darth Vader.
Here we go.
Here's Lincoln Cleary with Attack. We'll be right back.
Everybody,
hey.
Welcome back. That's been a Wake Up Hollywood. I'd like to thank our guest,
Lincoln Cleary.
Well, he was gonna let him say his own name.
Go ahead,
promote himself.
Say it.
It's Lincoln Cleary.
There we go.
Clearly, it's Lincoln Cleary.
Clearly, it's Lincoln Cleary. Eddie Pence for Nikhil.
Yeah,
goodbye, everybody.
Jamiroquai.